chapter 2. Again, we want to thank you all for being here this morning. Praise God. Acts chapter 2. Can you get that on the board? Acts 2, and let's start with verse 27. Start with 27. Acts 2 and verse 27. Praise God. Peter's preaching. He says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Next verse, we'll read to verse 33. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Me, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God sworn with an oath to him, that of the first of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, everyone say, this Jesus, hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. And our last verse, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He hath set forth this which ye now see and hear. You may be seated here in the presence of the Lord. Let me be clear. We are here to celebrate more than just the act of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are here to celebrate more than just a date on our Julian calendar. Event that has absolutely transformed the portals of history. We are here to celebrate because there was a plan and a purpose to which happened that directly affected our lives in a personal way. Listen, things in history, in the history of the world, there have been many magnificent feats that man has been able to do and to conquer. And there sometimes are great things that have happened in times of history. But they have no true power to our everyday life. They have no value to our everyday life. And when we examine them closely, they mean absolutely nothing. For example, through history, there have been many great feats that have happened, and they have been documented to be true and to be verified, but the effects of those things don't matter whatsoever. Just one example is that there was a truly great feat in man's history, and that was on July 20th, 1969, almost exactly 50 years ago. And that was them landing on the moon. And that was a magnificent feat for them to land on the moon. And I'm not taking anything away from those that took the technology to get up there and see our great circled earth. I don't want to make light of it at all, but I'm sorry, that has no bearing on my everyday life, though it was a very valuable, significant fact that took place in history. But when I talk about our King, and I talk about our Lord, and I talk about our Savior whose name is Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest feat that has ever happened in history. The miracle of Jesus Christ coming up out of a grave is the most significant thing in history. And praise God, it is a significant hint, and praise God, a number of things I want to show you on why it has effect in our lives. Number one, it gives reason and
substance to our faith, and it has infinite credibility. Number two, it is what separates us from being just another religion. I want to tell you, Christianity is not just another religion. There are so many religions out there out in the world. There are so many belief systems out there in the world. But because we serve a risen Savior, it's what separates us from all the religions of the world. Number three, the miracle of the resurrection shows that the greatest thing man has not been able to conquer, Jesus Christ was able to conquer the greatest feat that there is, and that is to destroy death, hell, and the grave. Humanity cannot conquer death by itself. There's not one person that has had the ability to come up out of a grave after they have died, except the one that we serve this morning. And what is his name? His name is Jesus, and that was a mighty feat that he did. But where all this really has value for us is not just trying to give you a history lesson, not to have you come again to an Easter service and show up and see all the things that might be around. But I want us to understand something before I finish this message. I pray I'm able to communicate it as best that I can. But the most important thing was the reason as to why he did it. I know they landed on the moon, but that has no effect on my life. But can I tell you, when Jesus came up out of the grave, then every single one of us has a personal connection to why he was able to do it. He did not do it because God had to prove something. God did not have to prove anything at all. But what he did do it for is although Satan came in and caused humanity to be separated from God, and we all know the fall of man was true, and we all know that death now reigns because of sin that is permeating in all of our lives. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has issues that need to be dealt with. Every one of us has things in our hearts and in our minds that are not lining up with the will and the word of God. But God showed way back then that I came to show you that I'm going to come conquer things that have conquered you. And the reason why we celebrate today is because when Jesus got up, he now lets us know that we also have the power to get up as well. And that's what I'm preaching to somebody here in this place today. I'm not preaching to you a dead religion. I'm not preaching to you a dead Savior. I'm preaching to you to tell you where what it might seem impossible, that there's nothing impossible for God. That Jesus showed us that because he got up, I can get up as well. Because he conquered, I can conquer as well. We are celebrating this morning and wanting to present a God that loves us, that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word perish also means to render useless. And in today's world, if you're honest with yourself this morning, that in today's world, so many people in their minds, you feel like you are useless. You feel like you cannot do anything right. You look at your life and you see it's all a mess. You look at your life, am I talking to anybody here today? You look at your life and you got all kind of fears, all kind of worries, all kind of problems in your life. And you go home at night and you cry. You're saying, how in the world did I end up this way? How did I come to a place in my life where I don't have control over my life at all? Am I talking to anybody here today? And you feel my life is useless. You feel that I'm worthless. I'm strung out on drugs. I'm talking to somebody here today. I'm strung out on alcohol. I'm strung out on perversion. I have an anger problem. I have a depression problem. I have a worry problem. Am I talking to, come on, somebody preach with me. I'm going through things that I cannot control by myself. I'm going through all kind of battles. Because why? I'm a fallen creature. I got all kind of addictions, all kind of messes in my life. I feel I'm just so useless because the things that I'm trying to fix, I cannot fix by myself. I know I'm trying to do the right things, but no matter how hard I try to do it of myself, I always come up short. Am I talking to anybody that I've come short? I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. With man, it is absolutely impossible. But that's why I'm preaching you today, with all of your vices and all of your struggles and all of your weights and all of your addictions and all of your sin problems that are whatever going on and keeping you down. Can I tell you, today is your day to get up? Because if Jesus got up, he's saying you can get up too. Jesus is saying, no matter how low you are, I can lift somebody's head today. I can help someone today. Come on, someone, clap your hands. You might feel useless. You might feel stuck. Oh, but the word of God is true. You're saying, why do we come to church? Why are we here in the house of God? Because I'm going to tell you, the first thing is because we believe in the Bible. Come on, somebody, say amen. I said, we believe in the word of God. Shout amen. We believe the word of God is true. But why do we believe in the word of God? And why do we believe that what we're celebrating today is more than just a story? Please hear me this morning. What we portrayed is more than just a story. I found this quote and I love to say it. I want to share it with you today on the reason why I believe in the Bible. I believe the Bible is true because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses who were living during the time of other eyewitnesses. They report to us supernatural events that took place in a specific amount of prophecies, and they claim their writings were divine rather than human origin. Can I talk to you just for one moment about the prophecies that were way back in the Old Testament before Jesus ever came out of a mother's womb? The Bible says in Psalm 22 in verse 1, to the chief musician upon Ageless Shahar, a psalm of David, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22 and verse 7. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Psalm 22 verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and they pierce my feet. And verse 18, they part my garments among them and they cast lots upon my vesture. Way back before Jesus ever was born, before he ever caused one miracle, one eye to be opened, one deaf ear unstopped, we see way back in the Old Testament prophetic words that came forth. And when we see Jesus in the New Testament, there were people that mocked him, there were people that laughed at him, and they laughed him to scorn and say, you believe God, then why don't you call him to get you off of that cross? And why you have your hands pierced and your nails that are in your hand? Why are you going through all that? And you're allowing to part your garments. Can I tell somebody? He was ordained from the foundations of the world to be the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. You know what he was saying? I'm walking in the prophetic word that I'm not getting up off of a cross, because I knew where man is. And man is down and man is out. And so when Peter came and Peter began to preach, he says, I repeat it in verse 31, he's seen that before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruptions. You know what Peter was saying? He said, the God I'm preaching about today, he is alive. And I know that people wanted to kill him, and I know people wanted to destroy him, and I know people laughed at him and they mock him and they spat upon him and they beat him. But can I tell you, he ain't in no grave no more. Can I tell you, he got up and he rose all with all power. And Peter was preaching. But what Peter was saying, I don't want you to misunderstand it. David spoke about this. David said, it ain't the will of God to leave my soul in corruption. Can I bring it down a little bit further? He's talking about the grave. He's saying he would be slain, but he's going to get up. He said he would be bruised, but he's going to get up. He said he would be wounded, but he's going to get up. Can I tell anybody who's been bruised? Can I tell anybody who has been worn out? Can I tell anybody who's been slain? Can I preach to anybody and say, if he got up, then you can get up today as well? Can I tell somebody that the power in Jesus is a power for you as well this morning? We're trying to talk to us today about why this historical thing matters for you. Because maybe you don't really go to church. Maybe you just think it's all fad and religiosity and it don't really matter. And that's why I'm so glad you are here today. Because I'm not just talking to you about some history story. I'm talking to you about somebody who was literally in a grave. So let me tell you what grave represents. We live in a dark world right now, and darkness like a grave is all around us. Problems are all around us. Pain and hurts and suffering and disappointment and regret all around us. Come on, somebody say, yeah, that's right. And right now things seem so overwhelming, just like a grave. And the grave represents and symbolizes dead things, places of no return. Some of you feel you've gotten so far away from God. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. Someone lift their hands up right now. We're going to break everything that would try to hinder the will of God. And there are people that feel like, I'm so far from God. My life is so far away from Him. My life is so full of darkness. I don't see a place of return. Everything I see is all dried up. Everything I see is hopeless. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this house. God, I'm praying you would break barriers right now in the name of Jesus. There are people here that all they see is decay and corruption around them, just like a grave. All they see is negativity. All they see is abuse. All they see is disappointment. I'm preaching to somebody today, and your heart has become so cold because the world has been so cruel. Your heart has become so callous because the world has been so cruel, and you don't feel like you can feel the presence of God because there are so many other things that are in your way right now. You got financial problems. You got health problems. You got mental problems. You got relationship problems. You got problems all around you, and all you feel like is that you are in a grave of despondency and decay. You don't think life can get better for you, so you have settled in and you said this is the way it is. Let me tell somebody, that's how the disciples felt. They felt all hope was lost. Their Messiah is now in a grave. But that's why I tell you today, that's why he got up. He got up to show somebody, if I can get up out of a grave, I can get you out of your grave. The scene of the crucifixion was so grim, in a place where they saw Jesus at his weakest point. Has anybody seen you at your weakest point? Jesus, we can't portray it here. Jesus was naked in front of them. Jesus was spat upon. Jesus was disgraced. Does anybody feel naked? Does anybody feel vulnerable? Does anybody feel disgraced in your life? And they saw their Messiah such at a weak point. Their Messiah was at the hands of other people. Their Messiah was not in control. And they saw the weakness of their Messiah. Please hear me today. Their follower totally defeated. They saw what happened to him. They saw how he was bruised and beaten. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, he was dead. All their hopes, all their desires, all their dreams,
all what they counted on, anticipated for, their whole future was now gone. But again, I'm going to show you why we are celebrating this morning. John 20:19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, another version says the doors were locked. There was no way in and there was no way out, but he addressed them where they were. They were assembled there. The disciples were assembled. But look why they were assembled. They were assembled because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish people and the middle of their hopelessness, in the middle of their fear, in the middle of their worry, in the middle of their problem, in the middle of their circumstance, in the middle of their dark hour, in the middle of their grave. That's when Jesus showed up. I'm telling somebody right now, you're going through a dark hour. I'm talking to somebody right now, the doors are locked, you're shut in, your walls are up, your fences are there, you don't want nobody to come in and see the real problem of your dealing with, and so you isolated yourself, you shut yourself out. But can I tell somebody, Jesus showed up in the midst of that situation and said, peace be unto you. I'm preaching to somebody this morning that Jesus is here right now, and Jesus is trying to speak and say, peace be unto you. Jesus is showing up, and then watch what he does. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus came and he shows himself to the disciples, a group of doubters, worriers, fearful, because of the mental state they were in. Some of you have mental blocks right now. Mental things you've dealt with, and now you shut yourself out, isolated because of the pain you have. Jesus, when he came, he didn't beat them up. He didn't down them in that moment of weakness. He didn't berate them. You know what he did? He elevated their faith. He didn't browbeat them. He didn't put them down, even though they were fearful and afraid and a locked door. Can I talk to you about the God you serve in this church and the God we serve in this church? That no matter how far away you feel from God, when he shows up, he's not going to berate you. He is going to increase your faith. He didn't say, why are you guys here being depressed? He addressed their issue. He said, look at my nail scarred hands. He says, I don't want to curse you. I want to build your faith. I'm going to show you I'm really alive. Come on, hear what I'm saying. Day. I'm not here to beat you up. I know you're down and out, but look at the nail scar prints in my hand. Look at my feet. Look at my side. I'm addressing you where you are. You were hopeless, but I'm alive. But I got up. And the Bible says the disciples were glad when they saw it. Is there anybody glad that there are some nails that show proof that he has the power to bring you out? Is there anybody here that's glad that Jesus got up? Is there anybody here? Come on, clap your hands and thank God that he got up. Because if he got up, you can get up. Because if he got up, you can get up. The last time they saw him, he was broken. The last time they saw him, he was weak. The last time they saw him, he was vulnerable. The last time they saw him, he was in a horrible place. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you are going to go home this week, and the last time somebody saw you, you were broken downtown and depressed. But when you understood that he got up and you can get up, the next time they see you, oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The next time you see me, you're going to see me up. You're going to see me praising. You're going to see me knowing that my God has got me up. I'm wrapping it up. He came into a locked room and revealed himself to his own. He was doing it to say, I can get through areas that other people can't get through. Some of you have put walls up. Some of you put barriers up. You put this facade up. You don't want nobody to see the real you, who you are. And so you got these things that hide what you really are. I'm going to tell you, Jesus walked through locked doors. And today Jesus wants to walk to the secret portals of your hurting heart and tell you, peace, be still. In closing, I must make clear what Scripture did not hide from us. Jesus did have a moment in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was trying to avoid this way of saving humanity. It was absolutely a struggle, make no mistake about it. He was human. But when he yielded to the will of God, like we got to yield to the will of God, there was a calmness that came upon him. He was not shaken in the middle of the lying people that came to accuse him. He was not shaken in the middle of Herod's hall when he would not speak to Herod. And Herod said, I got the authority. And Pilate said, I have the authority. And Jesus stood tall and Jesus stood calm. Because when you get a hold of the will of God in your life and the plan he has for your life, it won't matter what anybody says about you. It don't matter how they accuse you or talk bad about you. Jesus had a calmness about him. And Jesus said, I know what I came to do. I need somebody here. What I'm telling you today, it's time for somebody to rise up and stand tall with a calmness, knowing that you are in the will of God. Why? Because he understood, even though Herod and even though you, Pilate, think that you're trying to get me to avoid the grave, I'm not trying to avoid the grave. He understood the grave was the release to the greatest authority and power that I am going to have. Please hear what I'm saying as I close out this message. They thought the grave would be a setback for Jesus and all his followers. And some of you think the things you're dealing with are setbacks. I tell you, in the name of the Lord, it's not a setback. It's a setup. The grave was the thing that released him to the greatest power and authority that he had. I want you to stand on your feet today and keep it low, Brother Hannah. When Peter came and preached this message, the thing he said was that he refused to allow his soul to be corrupted and to stay in the grave. And then he ended by saying, both what you see and hear now. What he was referring to was Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out and he began to preach the salvation message. And he told them, the reason why you see people speaking in tongues and receiving the Holy Ghost is because he got up. And because he got up, he was able to send a comforter. Because he got up, Peter was saying, what you see are not people who are drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And when you have the spirit of God in you, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what struggle you have, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's the same power that wants to cause you to get up today. Did you hear what I said this morning? The same power in Jesus. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Jesus said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father. That's what he wants to do right now. He wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost today. He wants to comfort somebody's heart today. He wants to lift somebody who's been depressed today. So right now, all over this house, I want you to close your eyes. And if you have the strength to do so, I want you to raise your hand. And if you're hurting, and if you're tired, and if you're broken, if you're helpless today, I want to tell you that he died and he got up again so that you would have the promise of his Spirit. And he wants to baptize you with this Holy Ghost. He wants to baptize you with his presence. And he wants to tell you, if I got up, then you can get up as well. And I can give you a new hope today. And I can give you new life today. And I can save your soul today. And I can lift you up today. I got up so that you could get up. I want you now to raise your voices unto the Lord. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, let me get up today. Lord Jesus, touch my heart today. Lord Jesus, save me today. And the Lord Jesus Christ is moving upon us right now. The Lord Jesus is touching your heart today. The Lord Jesus is telling you, if I got up, then today you can get up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen. It would be absolutely in order for the Holy Ghost to show up on this resurrection service. I'm talking to everybody here, whether you're a first-time guest or you're a longtime member of this church. What good is the resurrection if we don't receive the purpose of his resurrection? What good is it to celebrate something that he wants to give and then we not receive it? It would be in vain. But there's some people here, you're going through so much suffering, so much pain in your life. And Jesus wants to get you up today. Jesus wants to help your family. He wants to help your need. He wants to help your situation. How many wants the Lord to help them? I want the Lord to help us. So if you raise your hand, I want to invite you. I want us to stand crowded in these aisles. And in this altar area, come on, move out. Come on, and I want you to move out in these aisles. And we're going to pray that we would get up before we leave. We're going to pray for the crescendo of God's power to come and speak to somebody and give breath to somebody. Come on in closer. Come on, move in his house. There are some people here that you got to leave this place with hope. You got to leave this place with strength. You can't go back to the way you were before you got in this house. But today's your day for God to touch you. Today's your day for God to minister to you. And I want the members of this church to get ready to pray for people. We're going to let the Holy Ghost lead us right now. I want everybody in prayer mode right now. And if you're here right now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to raise your hands to the glory of God right now. I want you to lift your hands unto him right now. And I want you to say, Lord, I need you to breathe upon me. And I want our saints to move through these aisles. And I want you to lay hands on people. And I want you to pray. I want you to help them. Help them get up today. Help them be encouraged today. We don't know what they're facing, but they're facing something. But Jesus is here to help them get up. Jesus is here to help minister to them. Jesus is here to help deliver them. Jesus is here. He's moving in these altars right now. He's moving in this place. He wants to save you. He wants to give you strength. He wants to deliver you. That's it, Jesus. Pray. Wherever you are, maybe we'll just lift your hands up to God and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I need you in my life. I believe you died on the cross for me, and I want you to save my soul. I want you to help me, Jesus. I want you to help me, Jesus. That's it, church. Come on. God's going to break some chains in this place. God's going to deliver this house. Up today, we got so much, oh God. We've been broken so much, God. Help us, oh God. Help us, Jesus. 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 That's it. The Holy Ghost is moving up and down these aisles. The Holy Ghost is helping our families together. The Holy Ghost is giving us strength. He's getting us up today. He is our hope. He is our help today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God is doing some wonderful things in this place. The Holy Ghost is moving in this house. This is why he did it. So we can get up today. That's it. He wants to get you up today. He's getting you up. You're coming up higher today. You're going up higher today. Wherever you are, he's giving you help today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Never going to be the same. I'm never going to be the same. I'm going to get up. I'm going to move forward in Jesus. He's going to help me. He's going to help me get up. He's going to help change my life as I surrender to him. I surrender to his power, to his anointing. I surrender to his will in this place. I said, churches, press in. Press in, press in, press in.
Now, when you open your mouth and say, Lord, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I said, just talk out loud. Talk out loud. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I believe, oh God, what you've done with my life, God. And I want more of it. Tell him, come on, out loud. I want more of you, Jesus.
You change my heart.
With your heart, you tell him how much you desire more of him. And you want more of him. And you yield to him. And let him get you up. Let him raise you up. Let him raise you up. In the power that he had, he releases it to you as well.
But I'll never be.
He releases it to you as well. He releases the power over us today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Not going to be the same. Thank you, Jesus.
Never be the same.
Jesus. Hallelujah. God's Spirit is moving. God's Spirit is encouraging somebody. God's Spirit is lifting somebody up. And what we receive in this house, I say there's more of it. There's more of it. There's more of it in the